Father God, I just pray that you keep my words humble. And if I've ever needed your help on a message, it's definitely this one. Lord, I just pray that this never comes across as anything that I've come up with or anything that I know. But the only thing that I know is what you tell me. So God, I just pray that you keep my footsteps guided by you. This isn't about a position. This isn't about an office. This is just about what you want to speak. So God, I just pray that you keep humility at the forefront and that you keep me at the back. Just guide our steps, Lord. And I pray that we can hear this in the right manner. Lord, I just pray that you help to make this how you want. Amen. Okay. I think I'm going to close these blinds real quick. Oh, can you guys see? Because that's like brutal. Because I'm having a hard time focusing over there. I promise it'll be snowing when we leave. All right. I'm going to read you a definition real quick. Otherwise, this won't make sense at all. And they don't have it, so you're just going to have to listen real close. All right. This message was not what this was going to be. I was going to give you guys a really good message on forgiveness. But what God wanted was a good spanking. So everybody's going to need to pay really close attention and just bear with me if I make myself look like more than I am, because that's not what I'm trying to do in any way, shape, or form. So just bear with me, and if I say something wrong, I'm very sorry. Okay, so just try to pay attention, because if you try to piece this all together, none of it's going to make sense. And all right, to admonish, a word that we hear a lot, you read about it a lot in the Bible, to admonish. Okay, to admonish is to caution, advise, or counsel against something. To caution, advise, or counsel against something. To reprove or scold, especially in a mild and good-willed manner. To reprove or scold, especially in a mild and good-willed manner. 3, to urge to duty, to admonish. Okay? Admonish is a very, very powerful word. It's not just like when we hear the word rebuke, a rebuke is more like a, more like almost like a yell, like, hey, listen, pay attention, go this way. Okay? To admonish is to humbly walk beside in a good-willed and mild manner, and to point to the correct path. To admonish is to caution, to advise, and to counsel against something. Not to come in and try to completely stop. It's to redirect. It's to rebuild. Like imagine if a road was broken. What you would need to do is you would need to redirect the road to where it needs to go. If you were looking at a set of train tracks and you knew that one of them went the wrong direction and that the train was going to go that way, what you would do is you would admonish using that stick, and you would pull that lever, and you would admonish that train to the right path. Okay? Everybody with me on what admonish means? Okay? To urge to duty. To admonish is much more than just a talking word. To admonish is to bring to life. To reprove. Does anybody know what to reprove is? This actually came in my spirit. I was talking with my mom about something. I was talking with her about forgiveness, which is why I was going to do it. But reprove has been in my head a lot lately. Does anybody know what to reprove is? Okay, here's what to reprove is. So imagine back in the old days, you take a sword like this, okay? A blacksmith would take months and months and months on it, okay? Each blacksmith's, his very well-being and his own like life support, his 401k, everything he had was bearing on his brand. Some of them had their letters, some of them had a symbol, Some of them had stars, some of them had these things, okay? So he'd make this sword, he'd put every last ounce of sweat, every last piece of blood he had into making this sword perfect. So like say I, Andrew Clark, were to make this sword, and I put, everyone knows that I'm the best sword maker, and when I'm done with a sword, I stand by it 100%. No matter what happens to that thing, my name rides on it. So they see this small star that says, this is Andrew Clark's mark. And I take a hammer and I go, tink, and I put my mark on it, okay? That's what God did with us on the cross. He took his mark and he put it on us. And he says, you have proven yourself, okay? To reproof or to proof, it's what they do with alcohol. Maybe that's a better explanation. With alcohol, that's how they get it in the alcohol content. They proof it, okay? So to reprove is if this sword were to be in battle for 10 years, this sword was on a Leonidas, okay? A mighty man of valor who's standing by the fact that I said this is the best thing that there is. 10 years later, he comes back and he says, is this still good? Now what am I going to do? I'm going to take that sword, I'm going to put it through every test that I did at the very first time that I made that sword. And if it can't stand it, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to scrap it and start over because my name is behind it, okay? To admonish, to reprove, okay? When God comes along and he reproves you, what he's doing is he's deciding whether you need to be scrapped and to be restarted or whether you're still worthy of bearing his mark, okay? Admonish, okay? Everybody got this? To admonish, admonishing, admonishment, okay? All right. As believers, we are given a duty to admonish. Okay, this is not really quick. I'm going to go. So there are some people who have the titles and the positions and the office of a prophet. Okay, there are some people who God gives specific insight into other people's lives without any knowledge of them. I've known a lot of them. It's a very interesting gift, and it's a very hard gift. But for me to be a prophet would be like, say I didn't know like a Tabitha. Say I hadn't spent time with Tabitha. I didn't know her backstory. I didn't know her life. I didn't know any of that. I could walk up and I could say, God's telling you this is wrong. You need to change this. And this is what the rest of your life is going to look like. Now walk this way. And then I could walk on my way. She's sitting there going, okay, like just completely seen through. Okay? There are some people who are given the office of a prophet. Everybody with me? That's what prophets used to do. God would put his words in their mouth. When you hear about Ezekiel, Isaiah, these guys would go to kings and they would read their mail right to them and tell them what was going to happen. Those were prophets, okay? All right. Today, not everyone in this room has been given the office of a prophet. Okay, everybody understand?
Yep.
Okay, good. I want to go slow because I want this to really sink in, okay? Because this is so crucial. Okay, we are not all given the requirements of a prophet, but we are held to account for our brother's well-being, okay? We are held to account the requirements to admonish our brothers, okay? Everybody with me? To reprove. When we see something's wrong, if you see a little kid who's taking a poo in the middle of the room, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to pick them up and show them what the right thing to do is. Okay? The same thing is true when someone is going off track. When that train is at the Y and you're starting to see it and the conductor's going, I'm making a right turn. I'm making a right turn. And you're going, there's no turn past that. It looks good, but it's going to break down and die. That track ends. There's an overpass that's out. And you're saying, I know. I've been there, or I know I've been praying for you, and God has shown me you need to make a left turn, okay, to admonish a brother, okay? What does this mean? Okay, we're going to, everybody flip to James 5:20. I promise I'm not making this up. This is not a belief I have, okay? I want you to understand this is not something that I believe needs to happen. This is something that the Bible says this needs to be done. Okay? So understand this. Your judgments, your admonishments have nothing to do with your personal opinions. has no business with personal opinions. We'll just start there. Because starting with this, as I'm admonishing you, you need to understand that this isn't something that I felt need to happen. This is something that God showed need to be said, and I'm trying to come about it in humility. Okay? 1 Peter 5:20, 5:19 and 20. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Okay? This isn't just talking about the people we see on the streets. This isn't just talking about the people we see who are at the bars. Okay? So it is God's job and the Holy Spirit's job to admonish those people. Okay? God talks a lot in the Bible about not judging the world. Okay? I want you to understand. It is not our job to judge the world because they're an inherent evil and they're going to be until either they turn and they repent from their sins or the Holy Spirit convicts them by a friend of theirs admonishing them or by someone who's been put in that path to admonish them. Okay? This is why you see so many people who stand on crates and people are just so turned off. Okay? Because the admonishing was meant to be a walking beside, a goodwill reproof. Okay? Those strong rebukes, most of the time, those are usually prophets. Okay? Those super harsh, I don't know you reproofs, most of the times are prophets or people who think they know what they're doing and are really just making themselves look like idiots. Okay? I know every single person in this room has been doing something and someone came along who didn't understand the severity of the situation or didn't understand where you're standing or what you're doing or the wholeness of a situation and came and told you what you needed to do and you said, you are a fool in your mind. But of course, you humbly took it and you said, okay. But you said, you are a fool. You have no idea what's going on. That is not what God's been telling me and that's not what the 37 other people in my life have been telling me about what needs to happen. Okay? Everybody with me? Okay. All right. So, the admonishing, okay? It needs to be done most of the time. There's no generics in the realm of God. So please, if I say, there's never an all with God because we can't comprehend what he's going to do, we'll never know what he's doing completely. It's far beyond our minds, okay? Most of the time, an admonishment is someone who has been there, someone who has insight into that, or someone who is close to you, or someone that is willing to be humble and to listen. Okay? This is one of the things that I live my life by, and that I believe that in a lot of ways Christ lived his life like, which is Jesus always humbly took what people said. And the people that were close to him, Christ always took it as if it was truth, okay? Now, even with Judas, he understood what was happening, and he still took what was coming to him. This is why he says things like this. He says, do what you must. He understood. So understand, you're going to have people that are like, you're an idiot, you're wrong, you're doing this, blah, blah, blah. You're going to have people like that, okay? But when you have someone who's close to you, who has insight to the situation, and most importantly, is walking humbly with God, first and foremost, is a servant to him and no other man, that's an admonishment you should be paying attention to. Okay? Because let me tell you what, if I know all of the insight into somebody like Amanda's life, and I start telling her with all of my psychologist degrees about how, you know, she should turn out this way, and how this person hurt her this way, and how her trauma meter is maxed out, and blah, 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 all that is just empty talk. All that is worldly, empty, vain garbage, okay? Insight into a situation does not give you a right to admonish. Walking humbly underneath God and being in that position and waiting for insight gives you the right to admonish, to reproof, to correct, okay? Everybody with me still? Okay. It's not a worldly thing because think about how asinine this looks, okay? If I know what's going on with Paul, can I use your vacuum store, for instance, right now? Okay. So Paul right now is going through a hard time with his vacuum business as far as finding a new building, okay? I know this. Does that give me right to tell him where he should look? Not necessarily. And even if it did, all it is worldly knowledge. Is that where God wants to put him? I mean, roll the dice. It might be. But I also might make myself look like a fool. And the next time something comes along in Paul's life, he'll go, oh, well, last time all he gave me was worldly knowledge. Worldly knowledge, empty talk, vain repetitions, things like this. I can go read a psychology book any day of the week. When I'm having a hard time, I want somebody who knows the Word of God, who's close to me, to come and say, listen, you're out of check. You need to pay attention, because what you're doing is putting you down the wrong path. Now, if God were to show me, if I was reading, and I was reading in the Bible, and I came across something where it said, you know, something that I said, listen, Paul, I read this scripture. I sat with him. We talked. I said, I read this scripture, and I believe this is where you need to go. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe this is what God's telling me. That's what that means, that steering. Now, let's say Paul goes, okay, well, my business is going to shut down because I can't find a place for it, and I think that's all God ever had for the business. And God's telling me through a scripture or through the Word of God or through a dream or through something that he spoke to me that our vat of vacuums is not done yet. Now is when I come along and I give him that harder reproof. And I say, listen, pay attention. Heads up. You're wrong. Now pay attention, because you're going to change thousands of lives by doing this. Okay? So there's a time for that gentle curve, and there's a time for that pay attention, you're on the wrong path. Okay? So that's a simple one. Okay? All right. Now let's flip over to Luke 7. That's the more simple ones. Okay? Now we're getting to the hard parts. So now we have the broad. Now we're working on our ways more to the narrow about what this really means. Okay? All right, so we've all heard the first part of this scripture, okay? 17, 1 through 4. Luke 17, 1 through 4. Then he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones. Okay, now this is the part we all know. Now listen to this part, which we skip over. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day return to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Okay? What does it say when a brother sins against you? Rebuke him, okay? Now what do? We don't come across as we know everything, because what does that do? All that does is make God look like a fool, because Christ never came that way to us. There are times when we had to have our knees taken out from under us to pay attention, because he had been slowly trying to correct us and we wouldn't listen. And so you needed a good God-sized fist right in the gut to get you to pay attention. But most of the time, if you look back on your life situations, there were points where you were being slowly corrected and you were not listening. Okay? Rarely does God do this. You're just walking normal and he just yanks the chain as hard as he can out from underneath you. Because that's not how he walks with us. I do believe that there were certain people, and I read about them in the Bible, that it did seem that way. But I would say in general, most of us, along the way, because we have the Holy Spirit so much with us, that we're being rebuked on a daily basis. I would say I am rebuked more than once on a daily basis, okay? More than once, I get a little, pay attention, listen up, you're wrong, okay? All right, now here's the part where it gets a little harder, okay? We've gone from the what admonishing means to we're going to go to our requirements, and who does it go to? Okay, now we're getting the requirements, okay? In verse 3, the very first sentence, we're going to read right to the period, okay? Four words, okay? Take heed to yourselves, okay? Take heed to yourselves. This is why most of the times you can go into a church, you can smell like you just rolled out of a bong hatch, and you can roll in with your wife of adultery, and most people just go, it's all right, because this is what we think, because this is what we're taught. Well, don't judge. Okay, now pay attention, because this is where things are going to get a little confusing, okay? If this was true, why would we want to change? If God were not to judge us and to show us the proper path, we would be living a sinful life. There would be no reason to change, okay? But this is how we view not judging. We say, okay, don't judge. So we say like this. This is what not judging means. It means that everything is okay. It means that no matter what's going on in the church, it's okay. As long as I sit like this, it's okay. Okay? In the Bible, we see about men of God that went to churches, that went to kings and said, this is wrong. I don't claim to be a perfect man of God. Like Moses. When I read about Moses, imagine going to Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world at the time, and saying, God's telling you, your kid's going to die if you don't change. That's paraphrasing, but everyone knows this is how the story goes. Right?
Yep.
That's hard. Okay? Now imagine if this. Imagine if God and Moses had a relationship like we view relationships today, which is all these people are being murdered, all the Jews are dying, being thrown into rivers, just abuse and slavery, you know, drought and things like that. And Moses sees all this stuff going wrong, even though he's been taken out of the hands of the river, and he's been brought into all this, and Moses just looks at Pharaoh and goes, I don't judge you. I forgive you. Okay? Now, I want you to understand how this comes in play, okay? I'm not saying that this is every person's place all the time to do this, because you would look like a fool, okay? But here's what I'm trying to say. The admonishment is a requirement. It is not a choice. Each Christian, throughout your life, you should have multiple points in which you can help admonish someone's life to the greater way. Multiple times. Now, every time that you see something that you know is wrong, with you, when you're walking with that person, remember what I said, if you're on the outside looking in, you don't have the details, so all you're doing is just guessing. Okay? Unless you're in that prophet's role, you have no business being there. Okay? So if you're in that prophet's role, more power to you. Go out there and prophesy, because we need more of those. But if you're just an everyday person like me, the admonishment comes more like this. It comes in complete humility. It comes with understanding of my past failures, the past skeletons in my closet. Okay? That's what this comes from. But when I see something wrong, every time that I walk past it, I'm denying the trueness of the gospel. Every time that I walk past this, I mean, imagine this. Like when we had Casey here, okay? Everyone remembers that Casey, you know, is a prostitute, okay? Was it any of our place to come up and tell her that being a prostitute is wrong? I'm pretty sure she knew this. That was the Holy Spirit reproving her. Now, what was our job? Our job was to say, listen, I mean, I know I can speak for me in Kingston. Our job was to come alongside of her humbly and say, do you want to change? Because if you go this way, you're going to die. This is no longer the path which you need to be on. The path of life is this way. And sometimes it's harsh. And I mean, you think about wounds. You think about a festering wound. The first thing you have to do is get that dead skin off. So like when a word like this comes across, it should hurt. Because a lot of the time we're so pacifistic in our ways. We think about not judging people. We think about doing these things. We're all such pacifists that we think we can't tell people this because of our skeletons in our closet. Okay? Everybody still with me? Okay. More than once, I had to have these conversations with my mom, my dad. I've even had them with Randy. We'd have these things, you know, even with my dad when he was on his path. I would say, listen, I would try to be as humble as I could. I'm sure I probably came across it wrong a few times, but I'd come beside him and I'd say, listen, you know this is wrong. And he'd be like, yep. Okay, well, I did my job. I understand this. I did my reproofing. I did what I could. More than once, me and Randy have sat in a car, and either one of us will say this, dude, you're getting out of check, pay attention, or something along those lines. You're sliding, you're slipping. Pay attention, or we're going to wind up just being normal, or you're going to wind up being back where you started. This is your right and your requirement as a Christian. If you love someone, there is no greater punishment than letting them live in passivity and sin. If you love someone and you see them going down the wrong path, there is no greater hatred that you can have in your bones than to let them do it. There is nothing worse on this planet than to just let them die and think that they're doing okay. Because I know that for me, more than once when I was spiraling, I was just waiting for someone to pay attention. And if I would have had a reproof, I would have paid attention. But more than once, people are so worried about, because they have so, I mean, I'm not perfect. Everybody knows this, okay? We've all at one point or another have skeletons, or some of us still have skeletons in our closet. We still have sins that we wrestle with, okay, right? Does that mean that we should not share the gospel and how it's changing us? That has nothing to do with it. We're being perfected. We're not perfect. But if we wait until we're perfect, until we tell someone what you're doing is not right, if we wait until we're perfect to do that, the whole world is going down the toilet. And it's starting with the church, because you see it happening. Not just this church, but every church. Because pastors are afraid to preach out of the book of Leviticus about homosexuality, about tattoos, about things like this. Because we don't want to judge people. When it wasn't us judging them at all. This was God's judgment. This has nothing to do with me. God said it, not me. Okay? Everybody still with me? Okay. If we wait until we're perfect to say these things, they will never happen. They will never happen. If we wait until we are in non-prideful perfection, the closeness of relationship that is perfect, they will not happen. What it takes is someone being willing to sit in an uncomfortable situation and say, hey, let's go have a cup of coffee. And saying, listen, I hope this isn't coming across wrong, and if I'm being prideful, I'm very sorry. But I see what's going on, and I want you to know not only that this is wrong, but more than that, what can I do to help you out of it? Because this, that when I say admonish, that's an action word. That's a rebuilding. A reproof is an action word. Okay? Forgiveness is an action word. To admonish someone is to bring into action and to lay your life down to get them out of a pit. When you think about someone down in a pit, how do you get them out? Something has to be sacrificed to get them out of a pit. Something. Now, whether you sacrifice a ladder to get down there, whether you sacrifice a rope, whether you sacrifice time to figure out a way to do it, when someone is going down the wrong path, something along the way must be sacrificed to get them out. And if you need to admonish someone, understand that your sacrifice will be required. If you see someone in that pit, if you do this, understand that you are now held held to a requirement to God to help this person. Because if you do this to every person and you just go, hey, Jeff, I want you to know that what you're doing is wrong, and here's the scripture why, and I want you to know that if you don't change, you're going to go to hell. And then I leave and I never come back. How am I helping him? That doesn't do anything. That does nothing. Now, is the word of God going to return void? No. But all I've done is make myself look like a pompous fool. Now, if I sacrifice and I say, listen, Jeff, this is what's going on. What can I do to help you? And he goes, oh, nothing, nothing, nothing. Now, I keep festering and I keep poking and I keep prodding and I keep trying to get in there. That's different. All right. Flip to the book of Ezekiel. This is where this came from. Because this is one of my all-time scriptures that keeps me in check, that a lot of the times admonishes myself out of what I'm doing. Ezekiel chapter 3, please. Everybody tracking so far? Everyone understand that you will be held to a complete and full account if we do not speak on the things which we know are correct in humility. Everyone understand that if we do not do this, the churches will look like cesspools and the world will look like the church. Okay. All right. Ezekiel 3:16. All right, I'm going to try to read it slow because this is a very, very powerful text, and it's very terrifying in a lot of places. Now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. Okay, so pay attention real quick here. Okay, the watchman. What was the watchman's job? The watchman answered to one person. The watchman answered to the king. Okay? If you are going to admonish people, understand this has nothing to do with authority. This has nothing to do with where you're sitting. Okay? This has to do with you are a servant of the living God. And every person is your brother. How would this not make sense? We all know that every pastor has sinned. Right? Even more than that, we all know that every person in here has sinned. How do we think that we wouldn't understand what it's like? Right? We think that because we're doing this, that we're making ourselves look like fools, or that this person is going to think that. What's it matter? Because at the end of the day, the person that you answer to sits on the throne of the King of Glory. Okay? Understand that. We answer to God. Okay? Now, the authority thing, that's on your own business. But what I'm trying to say is this. Each person in this room, pastor, whatever you want to call them, we're human beings and sinners that we're being perfected. Okay? We're no longer sinners, we're being changed. Right? We no longer claim that title. We're being perfected. Okay? But we all came out of a pit. One of the things the scripture talks about is remember the rock from which you were hewn, okay? Now that rock is Christ, but remember, we had a lot of junk on us that he took off, a whole lot. So if you see someone and they're stumbling, just remember, you have things that you struggle with. So a lot of the times, the person that you're talking to, they'll understand that. And if they don't know that, that's part of your responsibility to remind them, I'm human, I'm not claiming that I'm perfect. But I'm just telling you, I'm trying to get out of this, and I want to help you get out of this too. Okay? We answer to one person. If we claim to be watchmen, we answer to one person. Okay? When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. That scripture right there reminds me that if I see someone slipping, if I see someone spiraling, no matter if it's my father, no matter if it's Paul, if it's Leona, no matter who it is, if I know that they're slipping and I shut a blind eye to it, at the end of the day, the King of Glory is going to require his blood at my hand. This is not an option. The admonishment is not a gift given to some people. The admonishment is required on every person who claims Christ at the end of the day. Because at the end of the day, who we see slipping and we don't tell the truth and we don't give warning, because every single one of us has read scriptures in here that tell us what's right and wrong. If we see them slipping and we say nothing because we're afraid of an awkward situation, because we're afraid of our skeletons in our closet, because we're afraid of their clout, because we're afraid of if we're going to hurt their feelings, at the end of the day, that person's blood will be on our hand like Pontius Pilate had Jesus' blood on his hands. Yet, if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul. No man can change another man's soul. Understand this. There are certain people that want their iniquity. Okay? There's a scripture I was going to read, and I don't remember where it is, but it's in Psalms, and it says, what man can lay ransom for another man's life? The price is too hefty. So understand, you can't change someone's soul or their decisions or their choices. You can't change that. Okay? There are some people who want to go to hell. I promise, I've met them. There are some people who want to sin in every way possible just to prove that they can do it. Now, if they want to do that, and you know them, and you've admonished them, and you've admonished them again, at a certain point, you're going to go, if this wicked man dies in his wicked way, it's not on me anymore, because I've done my duty. His blood is no longer on my hands, and my soul shall be saved. Okay? Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. Okay. These are heavy scriptures. These are the things that a lot of people don't like to talk about. Okay? Why? Personal responsibility. Something we don't see in a lot of churches anymore. We don't see a lot of rebuke, and we don't see a lot of personal responsibility. This whole area right here is on the personal responsibility of you. Of me. Okay? The responsibility which is required. And that scripture right there is what reminds me, I'm nothing. If I'm righteous, no matter all the things I've done in my life, if I slip, none of that is remembered to God. I'm sure people on this earth might still remember it, but at the end of the day, none of it makes a difference because I'm held account to God. So none of what I do matters bupkis. All I can do is daily live as a bondservant of Christ. And what I do daily, I throw away in the rearview mirror because at the end of the day, it's not going to be remembered. There's no notches on a Christian's belt because this is what it says. If you're righteous and you slip, it won't be remembered. Okay? Now remember this. What he's trying to say here, if you see a righteous person, now remember who he's talking to, okay? Who Ezekiel is talking to in this passage right here is the house of Israel. Does anybody understand this? He's not talking to the Philistines. This is the house of Israel that he's talking to. This is the house of God. These are God's chosen people that he's talking to. So these people that he's talking to, these are not Philistines. These are not Amorites. These are not Babylonians. This is the house of Israel. These are God's chosen people. A lot of them go to temple. Okay? But what he's trying to say here, if that righteous man, he slips and you don't warn him, his blood will I require on your hands. Okay? Everybody got this? Nevertheless, if you warn a righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. Then the hand of the Lord was upon me. There he said to me, arise, go out into the plain, and there I will talk with you. So I arose and went out into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there like the glory which I saw at the river Chebar. And I fell on my face. This is something to remember. If you're not in right standing with God, your admonishment will always be from the flesh. Always. If you're not on your face trying to remember who it is that you're doing this for, your personal feelings will get in the way every single time. And all you're doing is mixing the word of God with the words of men, with psychology, with Scientology, with ecology, and you're just diluting it all. You're just making a mess. Then the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet and spoke with me and said, go shut yourself inside your house. And you, O son of man, surely they will put ropes on you and bind you with them so that you cannot go out among them. People are not going to like this. This is what he's trying to say. I will make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth so that you shall be mute and not go and not be one to rebuke them, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with you, I will open your mouth and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, he who hears, let him hear, and he who refuses, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house. Okay, here's what he's trying to say. He's trying to say, don't mix your words in there with my words. That's why he made him mute. He's trying to say, don't mix your words with my words. So don't tell people, well, God says this, when it's really just your feelings on the situation. because all that will make you do is look like a fool. And a fool is probably far too kind of a word. But you will look like an idiot. Okay. Let's pray really quick that God can seal this inside of us. Or something along those lines, or that we can remember this, or that we can walk this out the right way, or whatever. Because this is so crucial. This can help so many people. Lord God, I pray that my words weren't like a feather, but that they were like a hammer, God. I pray that my words were not like a cotton ball, but that they were like a scalpel. Lord, that removes the dead flesh. Lord God, I just pray in the name of your Son that we can help to remember this, to remember that it's our duty, it is our honor to help those who have fallen and to help those who are falling and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And that we never think that we're more than we are. God, I pray that if I preached anything, it's that we need to be humble and to serve you first. I pray that none of this comes from the flesh, but that this only comes from your word. Lord God, I pray that you give us the boldness to speak the things which we know we are required. Lord God, I just pray for the power to do these things. And I just pray that you'll remind us which words are yours and which words are just flesh. Lord God, I pray that you seal this inside people's hearts today. And I pray that if this wasn't the right word, that you just wash it right out of their ears. Lord God, I just ask that, starting with me, we can remember to do this more. Just keep us humble, Father, and forgive us for the times that we've missed it. Give us strength to be home and strength to be around those who need admonishment, God. Get us all home safely today. In your name we pray. Amen.